So I'm presenting on, title of my talk is Increasing Survival of Splice-Grafted Watermelon Seedlings Using a Sucrose Application. And this work was done by Sahar Dabirian, who is a master's student in my program and graduated this May at Washington State University. So the background really quickly is that watermelon production has really declined in Washington State. And acreage is actually no longer counted in the crop stats because it's below the threshold. We have shown that grafting could alleviate verticillium wilt, which is the primary cause of watermelon decline. So we've published 3 papers, done 5 years of research trials, and grafting can solve the problem. But we don't have any adoption of grafted plants in Washington. So the situation as I see it is that we don't have access to affordable plants, and growers still need to see really big trials on grafted plants to really consider adoption. And so I just, our project is looking at creating affordable plant material. So the hole insertion and the one cotyledon are the 2 most commonly used methods for commercially grafting watermelon. And in both of these methods, at least one cotyledon remains on the plant. So this is hole insertion, a hole made there. You can see the scion is just inserted into the rootstock, and this is the one cotyledon. And the problem with both of these is that we have rootstock regrowth. So on the whole insertion, you can see the rootstock regrowth there, and then this is the rootstock starting to regrow on the one cotyledon. And this is the problem with this methodology. So we are looking for a way to remove the issue of rootstock regrowth. And so what we are looking at is splice grafting. So splice grafting is the same methodology that's used for solanaceous crops. It's very fast. It's the easiest grafting method. But the problem with cucurbits and watermelon specifically is that they have a very low success rate, and it's not acceptable. So the objective of our test was of this study was to test sucrose solution applied to rootstock seedlings prior to grafting to see if we could increase splice grafting watermelon transplant success. And our hypothesis is that by applying sucrose solution, we could increase the carbohydrate reserves in the rootstock and thereby enhance success. So we used sucrose solution, and I should say that there were many, many studies prior to this to come up with these levels. So lots of preliminary studies to come up with these levels of 1, 2, and 3% sucrose solution, and then we had a water control. And we did a 3-split application with a total of 50 mils applied to the seedlings prior to grafting, and then we repeated the study 2 times. So we essentially had 2 experiments embedded in this. The first experiment was to look at grafting success, and the second experiment was to look at starch within the rootstock seedlings. These are both randomized complete blocks. Multiple plants per treatment, multiple replications, and repeated 2 times. The plant material for both experiments was the watermelon scion was Triax palomar, and the rootstock scion was Tetsu kabuto. We used a splice grafting technique, so I'm guessing everybody is familiar with splice grafting technique. The only thing I would say that we did differently is that instead of a 45-degree angle, we do a 60-degree angle. And Sahar came up with this. Sahar is my master's student because she feels you have greater surface area with that splice graft, and she feels like it leads to better success with healing. So this is the data on the plant survival. So there was a difference between the 2 repeats. So this is repeat 1 and repeat 2. And the difference is primarily in this treatment right here, which is the water treatment. In repeat 1, we had about a 60% success rate with the water control by the end of grafting. And in repeat 2, we had about a 45% success rate. And then these are the 3 sucrose solutions. And you can see the red line and the gray line at the top on this. And repeat 1 and on repeat 2, the red line is the 2% sucrose. So we feel that the 2% sucrose solution applied to the seedlings prior to grafting gave us better grafting success, and that grafting success was approximately 90% combined on average for the 2 repeats. And here you can just see what the plants look like. You know, water is death and destruction. 2% was our better treatment, and 3% was also good, but the 2% was statistically better. So then we looked at starch detection because we feel that the sucrose solution, it provides the plant with carbohydrate reserve in the stem of the rootstock, which is what enables it, and also in that we applied to both seedlings, but we only analyzed the rootstock. But we feel that's where we get the grafting success, is that we have carbohydrates in the plant material prior to grafting when there's very limited photosynthate activity and translocation of photosynthates. So we used a staining technique to analyze this plant material. And starch accumulation, we measured it using the Cornell Starch Index on a scale of 1 to 8, if you're familiar with that. And here's the data. So we have, this is the average, and this is repeat 1 and repeat 2. So just looking at the average data, the 2%, remember we had the higher success rate. And with this, we had a 4.5 rating out of 8. And with the 3%, we had a 5.7. And so on the overall rating, we had greater carbohydrate with the 3%, but we had a greater success rate in terms of survival with the 2%. So we feel, in general, that the 2% is the better solution to use for a splice-grafted watermelon. So in summary, survival of grafted watermelon due to sucrose treatment differed due to repeat. The trend was similar in both repeats. Repeat 1, there was no difference due to treatment, but at 21 days, survival with water tended to be lower at 68% than the 2% solution, which was 90%. 90% survival with splice-grafted watermelon is outstanding. I just want you to know. Repeat 2, water was at 61% at 14 days and 48% at 21 days, and with the 2%, we had 90% survival at 14 days and 88% at 21 days. My goal with this experiment was to reach at least 80% survival, so we surpassed our goal, and I think that this is really something that should be explored further. Starch accumulation in the rootstock, again, the 2 and 3% solution gave us the highest starch accumulation, and we think this might be why we get the greater survival. So we see that sucrose is taken up by the rootstocks. We think that survival is because of the carbohydrate reserves in the rootstock, and we think that the starch level of 55% may be adequate to provide the carbohydrates needed for success. So just quickly acknowledging, our funding support was from Washington State Department of Ag, our USDA SCRI grant, and then our two seed companies that provided the seeds, and then we did publish this work in Hort Science. And I think I have time for questions. Obviously, there are lots of different things to look at further down the road, but I think that the primary issue that we have to really assess first is what is the sucrose solution that might be best, what's the timing of application, and then certainly looking at different rootstock cyan combinations. I mean, every time you put genetics into the equation, everything changes. I also think that maybe the healing regime, you know, how we're managing the plants post-grafting. I personally think there should be more work done there. We've done a little bit of work on the solanaceous side. I have a PhD student working on that, and we're just starting on the watermelon side. I have a new PhD student working on light relative humidity for grafting success in watermelon, because I think there are all of these things come into play. So I use the grafting protocol, the healing protocol that we've developed at my research station, and that is published, but I will tell you, summarize that really, really quickly here. So we graft, and then we put the plants into a dark healing chamber with no light for 3 days, and we water, all of our water goes on the bottom of the healing chamber, so there's no watering of the plant material. We add water to the chamber as needed after day 3. At day 3, we open up the chamber, we check the water, we add more water if needed, and then we start to remove the shade cloth that's over the chamber. So the healing chamber for us sits on a bench in the greenhouse, and then we cover, it's just greenhouse, old greenhouse plastic over a frame, and then we cover that with shade cloth, and then after day 3, then we lift up the front, then we lift up the sides, we lift up the back, and then we take off the top. And so removing of the shade takes about 6 days in general. And during that process, we also open up the chamber for 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, progressively until the plants are on the bench at day 9. We try to keep our temperatures at about 25 degrees in the greenhouse, but it's... Our greenhouses are old, and they are not very controllable. So we get spikes. We get spikes at 30 degrees, and we do everything we can to bring them down, you know, as fast as possible. But the reality is I get spikes at 30 in the greenhouse. I try to keep it at 25. And I did that on purpose. Right? We're going to do, this is the Ignite format. For those of you who came late, you missed the instructions. Right. So that's a great question. So the question is, how is the sucrose being used in the plant, and why would it lead to grafting success? So I think that, yes, carbohydrates are used for callus formation, but I also think that, so I think that's part of it. And so that's part of the new project that we're looking at right now. My PhD student is going to be really focusing in the greenhouse on propagation methods. I think within the scion material itself. So I think that, you know, loading the scion material with sucrose as well as the rootstock. We looked at the rootstock material. We did not look so much at the scion material because it gets complicated. It's really easy to look at a stem. It's more complicated to look at leaf material when you start to, you know, do this quick test for starch. There is no easy, quick and easy way to do it. So I think that within the scion, I think it's used to replace photosynthate because I think there's just limited interaction there between the two plants. I'm open to suggestions. If anybody else has an idea of how the sucrose would work within the plant, I'd be really interested to hear what you might think.
I've seen helium sweet potato and kind of that. Let's say you take this gene out and you see the cells have starch. And over time, those starch granules disappear. And depending on the variety, what we call the dry variety that have more starch, they heal more complicated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Great question. And so far I'm going to say no, but I will say that, you know, the problem is that we just took this test to 21 days. And so, you know, we just looked at grafting success. So within that time frame, I'm going to say no. But what happens beyond that and the next step, of course, what happens when you put those plants out in the field? So that's where we'll be. We're trying to, you know, this winter, we'll focus a lot more on the greenhouse studies to try to come up with a real methodology that we feel is very successful. And then by next spring, we're hoping to be able to graft with that methodology and then put the plants out in the field and take it to the end result there. I guess I just want to emphasize for those of you who came in a little bit later that, well, and to everybody really in general, I think that if we can graft watermelon by using a splice graft technique, I think we can completely change the industry with grafted plants, because that is the problem with watermelon and other cucurbits, is the time it takes to graft a cucurbit by keeping that one cotyledon on and getting rid of that rootstock is burdensome. And there's always regrowth. And so I know other people have looked at other methodologies, but in my mind, they take way too much time and labor. They take resources. The industry has looked at applying them, and they've said they're not feasible. And so I think if we can go to a splice grafting methodology that's effective, and if we can get above 80%, then it's as effective as a one cotyledon. The industry cost as far as I'm familiar with, is about a dollar. But it really depends, and that's when you provide the seeds. So you provide, as a grower, you provide the seed material to the grafter, they graft for you, and the plant is, and I don't know necessarily if that includes shipping. But I'm going to say, in general, about a dollar a plant.
It also depends on how many you provide.
Right, of course. Right. Yeah, our growers are in the, you know, we have 300 acres per grower. So, yeah. It's a splice graft. Right? No, that's a one cotyledon. So don't confuse. That's a one cotyledon splice. This is a splice graft below the cotyledons. Both cotyledons are removed. It's to match the stem diameter as usual, so that's another really good question. Does it matter how far below the cotyledons you go? We go, I don't know, maybe if you think about, you know, how much stem you have, maybe a couple of, half a centimeter below the cotyledons. It really, you know, I don't know that we've spent too much time thinking about that.
Let's continue the discussion afterwards. You don't have to move on.
But that worked, right? Yeah. Wasn't that fun?
Very fun.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's thank Carol. Thank you.